We're going to talk tonight again about the war chest, continuing on from where we were this morning. It's a little bit different because in the early service, I go to a certain place. And then in the second service, I go to another place. And then I try to bring them together on Sunday night some way. And so I just found real difficulty tonight being able to do that. So I'm just going to pick up in a place. And any repeats, then just that I'll give you permission to take a nap, quick nap for that one. And then we'll... Because I just really believe it's important that God help us to walk in the supernatural. And I'm just before the Lord, as you are, asking God to help us to come up levels. Because I know it's going to take a higher level to be able to live victorious in this day. I know that. I know that in my life. I know that in the world. And Sister Beelan, I know you know that as far as coming the Lord. Man, the enemy come down because he knows his time is short. It's just going to take a coming up in the area of spiritualness or being able to live in the area of the spirit or the supernatural. So I'm just pursuing God, and that's what all of the speakers were pursuing that were coming. They knew nothing of where we were, but every one of them was speaking into our pursuit of that higher place in the Lord. And I tell you what, they were wonderful. And we have those CDs. If you miss some of them, then just get the CDs. If you like to have the whole set of them, just order the whole set of them because they were marvelous. Starting off with Sister Mary. And just wonderful, wonderful. And she taught us how to handle this year. Then coming right behind her was Sister Sandy. And Sister Sandy taught us how we're to handle this year. And then coming right behind that was Brother Ford. And Brother Leonard just taught us so well how to handle this year. And then coming out of that, then we moved right into Brother Bill Norton. And I, let me compliment you on the wonderful way that you took care of all of these evangelists. Thank you so much. You gave in your heart. And I was so thankful. Bill, he was the last one. But we always desire for the Lord to do something special because he's heading out from us and heading overseas usually. And so he's a lot of expense. Always love to plant it in those seas. And you invested over $11,000 in Bill. And I just praise God. And that's wonderful. And I am just so thankful for your love and your care and the way you take care of the sweet, sweet people that God sends to us. So it's just wonderful. Praise the Lord. All right, we're talking about courage. We're talking about the Lord helping us here to do that. Now, in the second service, I just kind of just let it loose. I didn't cover really not much territory scripture-wise, but I did just kind of cover a lot of the territory as far as what I felt the Holy Spirit was saying. the word courage is also, in the Old Testament, translated prevailed. And that's what David used when he prevailed over his giant. The Bible says, so David prevailed. Or really, it says, so David couraged. So the way that David defeated Goliath was he had courage to stand up. He had courage to awaken. Then he had courage to stand up. Now, I'm just covering real quick here the last few moments of more of why it's important that we stand up. That is courage. It takes courage. It takes courage to demonstrate authority over the storm that you're facing. But it is of vital importance. All through Scripture, God tells us that's not his position. It's our position to stand up, and it's his position to lift us up. It's our position to stand up, and it's his position to come in power. So we must be willing to be courageous enough to stand up in authority. And there just needs to be some little phrases I really believe that we need to develop this year. Some phrases, not that I would speak to my neighbor next door, such like, devil, you can't do this. But phrases that we need to speak to ourselves. Now, remember, the devil is not omniscient. He's not omnipresent either. He can't hear your thoughts. He's a strategist. So he puts thoughts in. That's why he layers thoughts in one right behind the other. And he layers them. And he's a strategist in putting thoughts in your head over long periods of time. building hold assignments against us in our life. That's why the same thoughts come into a child they're having when they're 30 and 40 years old. Because he's a strategist. But he can't hear your thoughts. So it is vitally important that you speak to your storm. Now, standing up tells you that he rebuked the winds, but he spoke to the seas. The winds is what caused. The seas is what was caused. I think a lot of times we miss both of those. We'll do one or the other. We'll speak the healing word, but the enemy that caused that to start with is not dealt with. See, I believe that's a lot of times when we see people healed at the altar and they walk out and that thing gets back on them. Because he rebuked, he argued with the cause, with the spirit, with the wind, with the breath. But the wind caused the waves. And he spoke and silenced or muzzled is really what that word is. He muzzled. It's the picture of God taking his hands and strangling the waves. So he stood against and rebuked the winds. So you remember that. It's real important for you to look beyond what is caused and you see the cause. And you build it into your vocabulary, if it's not already there, this year especially, to rebuke the cause. Just learn to say things. Devil, you can't do that. You don't have the power to do that. Jesus robbed you of that power to do that. The cross of Jesus defeated you. Learn to carry on a conversation with the enemy and not just with God. Jesus taught us that. Jesus taught that in the brief 3.5 years that he ministered on earth, everything of that 3.5 years was of vital importance because he only had 3.5 years to record. So everything that he did, now John said if he wrote everything that Jesus did, the world itself wouldn't contain the books. But so everything that's in the Gospels are of vital importance because he had to record the things that were important. And the things that he took place in his life are important. That's why it's recorded. It begins with him being led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested or tempted of the enemy. Jesus begins his ministry by telling us how to talk back to the enemy. Even when the enemy is quoting verses. Now, the verses were quoted to Jesus. Amazing thing to me, Jesus didn't argue with the verses. He just quoted the truth. He just declared the truth back. He didn't get into an arguing match with the devil. He just spoke the truth. The devil tried to speak the word. And sometimes the devil will use the word in our minds to try to pull us off course and try to even bring us into fear. Because the word can, there are scriptures that's used out of place that can minister in the wrong direction in your life. So Jesus taught us how to deal with that. And we deal with that just by staying with Scripture. And learn. Get that in going over your head where you're talking back to the enemy. Don't allow him to harass you. Don't allow him to put pain on you uncontested. Do not allow him to put things in your life unresisted. Speak to him. Now, with another total voice, you talk to God. With another total heart. Because we come humbly before the Lord. But we become as a lion before the enemy. Remember, the word in the Old Testament for courage is a symbol of the lion. That's why we call the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's the lion force, the forcefulness of a lion, the aggressiveness of a lion that comes forth as we deal with the enemy. So make sure that you talk to the enemy and you do that. All right. That's what David used. David used courage to defeat Goliath. He stood up. That courage enabled him to take authority. And literally he took authority without using any of the weaponry that was of the day that was common for his soldiers on the field of battle. He rose up. What really destroyed Goliath was the authority. He came against him in the name of the Lord. And then he began to declare his doom. And you've got to do that to the enemy. You've got to declare the enemy's doom. The Bible calls that the judgment that is written. So it's just a violent force. Now, there's some scriptures that would help us to see when standing up. Isaiah 28:6. Notice what it says. Then at last, the Lord of heaven's armies, a beautiful scripture, will himself be Israel's glorious crown. He will give great courage. Notice who he gives great courage to. God gives great courage to their warriors who stand at the gates. When you make a stand, God gives you great courage. We want great courage first. Then we'll make a stand. God said, no. You make a stand, and I'll give you some great courage. So your first stand may be a wobbling stand. You understand? But it said here, the warriors who stand at the gates. It's important that you stand in the authority. Gates talking about authority. It's important that you stand. When you make a stand, when you take a hold to stand in authority against what the enemy has tried to do against your life, the Lord said, I'll give you great courage. It will be easier and easier for you. You will sense the strength, because also courage means strength. You will sense the strength of God that will begin to fill your life as you do that. So the Lord is telling us that we're to make a stand. To stand up. Everybody say, stand up against the enemy. Make a stand against the storm. Stand up against the storm. Don't go into the bottom of the boat, hide your head under a pillow, and die of depression. Don't do that. Wake up, stand up, and take your authority. Declare your authority. It's God that will back that authority. Amen? All right, now, here's a verse that tells us what happens sometimes. The mightiest warriors no longer fight. They stay in their barracks, or they stay in their rooms. And their courage is what? Gone. All right? Soldiers that stand up, God gives them what? Great courage. Soldiers that don't fight, what does they do? Their courage is gone. They have no courage. God uses courage in our lives to make a stand against the enemy, to be able to boldly declare the judgment that is written over Satan's kingdom against the storms that's trying to oppose your life. Amen? All right, let me quickly get into this. All right, now, the third thing I want to talk about is supernatural courage must have a revelation of authority. There must be a revelation. God must give a revealed knowledge of authority if I'm going to be able to stand up in strong courage. Now, I've watched people, you know, it can be the Jesus who Paul preaches. Or you can say it just like Bill. Or you can try to do it just like George. And it won't work. It's got to be a revelation of authority in your own heart. It has to be a revelation of God's power and his ranking and his authority that's in your own heart. You trying to ride somebody else's coattail to stand up against the enemy will not work. That's proved over and over in the Bible. Lane preached about that the other Wednesday night. Make you naked and send you out of there. So you don't want that. You don't want to go that way, right? So you want to have your revelation. I say my revelation. See, because only then is it genuine. If you try to stand in Paul's shoes, it won't work. The strength, the courage, the strength does not match out with the authority that you're given. So you want to stand whatever level of authority that God has revealed to you. That's why it's of vital importance. I said here, anytime anyone gets into a battle, somebody's got to take charge. Somebody has got to get a strategy. And it needs to be the person that's under attack. Do not allow someone else to guide your battle if that battle is life and death with you. If that battle is life and death with you, you make sure that it's your authority that's been revealed to you. It would be better to have little authority and it be effective than try to boast of great authority and be non-effective. Amen? So just make sure that you're standing in, and the Lord will help you. He will help you to make those stands. He will help you to know what type of bullies to back off. He will help you do that. God will help you to come into that discernment. Now let's talk about this just a little bit, a revelation of authority. All right, the Bible says when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the winds and he said to the waves. Remember, he argued with the wind. He rebuked the wind. Because the wind was the cause. The spirit that was behind was the cause. And then he said to the waves, silence, be still. He spoke to the cause. I believe it's important that we speak to the sickness at times. I believe it's important to speak. But it's also important if there is another entity that is involved. If there is another something that is involved other than just that sickness. It's of vital importance that we don't jump over one to get to the other. That we deal with that one at the same way. Amen? All right, now I covered this morning, and I'll just go flip through the picture here because I've already talked to you about this. Whose hands do you see? Because that's of vital importance. You need to identify. You may have started your walk, you was identifying as blind Bartimaeus, his hand reaching up to the Lord. Certainly I know that's where I started. I can remember what it felt like to be blind and broken. But somewhere along the line, I had to begin to identify with another hand. And no longer was I identifying with the hand that was reaching up. I had to begin to identify with the one that the Bible tells me is my only example. The one that did it right, lived it right, overcame it right, used it right, powered right. Amen. And I truly believe that the power that Jesus demonstrated here on earth was the power that is accessible to each one of us as a believer. It was not in any unique sense just God's power. He operated here on earth as a believer. That's the only way he could be my example. It's the only way. If he had some power that is not available to me, he could not be my example. But because he came, he was willing. Isn't that wonderful? God was willing to do that. God was willing and to take on himself a form of a servant. He was willing to come here and operate with the very same power that I'm able to operate and show me how to do it right. That's why it's so important to go to the Gospels and see how to do it right. Because the Gospel shows us how to do it right. I'll be honest with you. Paul made some slip-ups. And I'll be honest with you. Peter made some slip-ups. I'll be honest with you. James made some slip-ups. But I tell you one that never made any slip-up, and his name is Jesus. Amen. He did it right every time. Every time. So identify and identify. You're either the one that getting up out of the struggle, speaking of the water, speaking of the problems of life, or you're the one that has the hand reaching out to that. And so just learn to identify more and more with Jesus. Praise God. All right. Now, as we identify more with Jesus and less with just the people in need, as we learn to identify more with the healing power of God instead of the one that the healing power is just healing. See, God wants to do some miraculous things through us. In fact, Jesus said, even greater shall you do. It's the will of the Lord. God operated, Jesus operated in the very same power that's available to us. And so he said, you may even can use this to a greater measure. Because why? Because we have longer life here on earth than Jesus. Jesus had only 3.5 years to use God's power. And most of us have a lifetime to use God's power. And so he said, you can even do greater things than these. And we understand that not only, see, we really died. Do you understand that when we came to Christ, my life died, your life died? Now who lives in our stead? Jesus. That's of vital importance. Jesus is in heaven. I know we feel that Jesus is right here, but Jesus is in here by way of the Holy Spirit. Jesus lives inside of us through the Holy Spirit. I was telling MITs earlier. We house the Holy Spirit. And a lot of ways, we can become a jail to the Holy Spirit. Because as Jesus in heaven wants to do something, he's doing it through the Holy Spirit here on earth. And the Holy Spirit needs hands. The Holy Spirit needs eyes. The Holy Spirit needs mouth. The Holy Spirit needs feet. That's why when the Lord wants to heal somebody, he'll nudge you. And the Holy Spirit will say, lay hands on them. I want to heal them. Or the Holy Spirit may say, that person over there is going through a hard time. You go tell them. See, that's Jesus. You understand? That's Jesus. He's up in heaven, viewing our situation and determining he's wanting to help. But for him to be able to help, he's got to allow the Holy Spirit. He does it through the Holy Spirit in us. And we can become a prison, or we can become an open life to the Holy Spirit. And I just really believe it's important to say, Holy Spirit, if you want my hand, here it is. If you want my mouth, here it is. If you want my eyes, here they are. If you want my feet, here they are. I want Jesus to be able to reach out in this earth. Amen? All right, and then we did, by doing that, we understand not only was it Jesus' purpose to destroy the works of the devil, it becomes our purpose. Courage, I'm talking about courage. It becomes our purpose to destroy the works of the devil. Then you never have to determine whether you need to get in that battle against the devil or not. Because the only reason that Jesus was here, the reason he was manifest, the Bible says, was to destroy the works of the devil. Now, the reason the Holy Spirit abides inside of us is to destroy the works of the devil. So you never have to question, man, if you sense something is of the devil, get into the battle. There's a time for courage to stand. Because God, remember how courage comes? You stand up. The warrior that stands up in the gate, the warrior that stands up in authority, God gives him great courage. So you stand up in the midst of that battle, amen? And literally you become a devil destroyer. And the Bible tells us to give no opportunities. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of us. There's three works that the Holy Spirit is doing in us, even right now, this building, working toward the miraculous power of God. And one of those great things that God is doing in us, he's helping us not to give an open door to the enemy. Now, we call it conviction. It's either conviction or the Holy Spirit, or in the New Testament, it can also be rendered convincing. The Holy Spirit convinces me to shut the doors of my life. He convicts me or convinces me to do that. Because he doesn't want an open doorway. That's his house. I'm his house. I belong to him. And the first work of the Holy Spirit is not overcoming storms. The first work of the Holy Spirit is cleansing the temple. Do you understand? And he will take that blood and he will cleanse that temple. And so the first work of that is done. All right. And Luke chapter 19, notice what it says. Behold, I have given you power over all the power. Now we talked about this morning, so I've already really pretty well covered this. That word power is the word exousia, the word authority. God said, I give you authority. You can say no to the devil. When you realize there's a storm going on, and you realize that that storm has a spiritual cause, you can say no to the devil. You can do that. You can do that. You have the right. You have the privilege. God has authorized you to say no to the devil. And if we will say no to the devil, God said, if you will disallow it, I'll disallow it. If you will bind it, I'll bind it. If you loose it, I'll loose it. If you allow it, I have to allow it. It's not that God wants the things going on the earth that's going on. The Lord will not break his word. What you and I allow is allowed by God. Not pleasing to God, but allowed by God. What you and I put up with is put up with by God. Not pleasing to God, but put up with by God. Amen? Amen. And the correct rendering of it really say, I've given you authority. Jesus said, I've given you authority. Everybody say, I've given you authority. Now, let me just quickly cover a little thing about authority. Jesus gave out his authority to 70 plus 12 when he's on earth. He sent out 12 and he said, I give you authority. And I give you power. Then, in Matthew 28, we find he's calling them back to receive a level of authority. See, I truly believe that the authority and the power that the 12 operated under when they had all power over all the enemy and brought healings, it was the power that was in Jesus as Jesus being a son of God or being a believer, operating in the same realm that you and I are in. And that is to the degree the authority and power can be in a believer's life. The authority and power was in Jesus so strong that he was able to share what he had with 12 and then share it with 70 others. And they went out and was rejoicing that all the devils were subject to them. The authority of Jesus. Not only could the authority and the power that was in Jesus take care of Jesus' storms, but there was enough authority. That's why you call abundantly above. There was enough authority and power in a believer's life that's accessible to a believer to take care of 82 other people's storms and to keep them safe. Man, that's power, isn't it? And just think about that. And that's why Jesus prayed. He said, all you've given me, I lost none. I kept them. That was his prayer. Jesus' power. But it became something else because, see, they were already given power. Now, the very ones that had given Jesus power, when Jesus went back to heaven, now what did he ask? You need your own power. And he said, you need your own authority. They had operated that 3.5 years under Jesus' great power and under Jesus' great authority. And they could silence every demon that they could get to because there was that much power that's available to the life of a believer. And you think a little dab's going to do you. When God wants to bring enough authority, enough of power in each one of us that's called his son, there would be such a generous amount that there would be enough for us to give away, give away, give away. Not only does God want us to generously give finances to us so we can give away, give away. God wants to give us power so we can give away, give away, give away for the glory of God. Amen. God really wants us to become an artesian well of his power. And so by that, but then it came to the place where Jesus went back up to heaven. And he said, now you've got to have your own authority. Because there he said in Matthew 28, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. He didn't say that prior to that. But after the completed work of the cross, Jesus said, it's been given back to me. Now he had it in the beginning. He had it when he created these worlds. He had it all, but he laid all that aside because he wanted to show you and I how to live a victorious life on earth and overcome the storms of life. And so he laid that aside. But after his resurrection and after his ascension was given, after his great coronation back in heaven, and he came back to earth, then was given to him, all authority and all power was his again. And he said, now, you go. And from that point on, it was a believer's obligation to walk in the authority of Christ. That's what I said. Every person had to have their revelation of authority. Authority comes out of only one place. Authority doesn't come from the lips of Jesus. Now, the authority comes from the word of Jesus. The more word you know, you really know, the more authority you walk in. The more experience you have in the Holy Spirit, the more power you have. Being a victorious believer means operating in two realms. I must have authority and I've got to have power. If I just have authority and there's no power to back it up, I'm just a tinkling temple and a sounding brass. So there's got to be more. There's got to be. I must have authority from the Lord. I must stay in God's word until God's word begins to create something in me. A revelation. It doesn't start as a revelation. It really starts as a sanctification. When you start seeking God's word, it starts in you as a sanctification. God begins a cleansing work in us. Before any person, and with a type then, a shadow, some people say, do you pray out from under a prayer cloth? I don't need a type and a shadow anymore. I've got the real thing. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I've got the real thing. It's no more types and symbols anymore. We're able to experience the real thing. And I don't need objects or things to help me find Jesus now. All I need is look up and say, Lord, I'm yours. And allow the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's just real important that I be in God's word. I allow God's word to have its work. Now, God's word starts to work in me. I mean, if you want to know that God's getting you ready for some big time warfare, the way you can know that is God's word will start working in you, sanctifying you, cleansing you, washing with water of the word, the Bible says. That's what Jesus does here all of his time. Up there in heaven, he's taken you and I. He takes us and he takes the water of his word and he washes us. Jesus is washing us with the water of his word. And you think it's just guilt. And sometimes it is guilt. You can tell it's guilt. Just go ahead and repent. If it still bothers you after you repent, it's guilt. You understand? But he starts in that work of cleansing. And when God starts cleansing you, dealing with you, washing things out of your life, said, you don't need that anymore. You don't need that anymore. And God starts drawing you into the holy, then what you know is God's fixing to use you in something really powerful. And God's really fixing to send you into a storm. And he's going to put you on the front of that boat. And he's going to have you stand and look at that storm and rebuke those winds and speak to those waves. Amen. The first way you know this happening is the Holy Spirit is in you, sanctifying you. Then it becomes a meditation. That comes out of meditation of the word. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 1 that we meditate the word day and night, that God calls a prospering life to begin to take place in us. As I meditate on God's word begins to prosper life. All of a sudden, life begins to overcome all that old death in me. All that old stuff I don't need, all that old stuff that's garbage, all those old stuff that's open doors to the enemy. All of a sudden, as I begin to meditate on God's word begins to wash me and cleanse me out of that. Next thing that happens is transformation begins to take place. I began to be changed. The Bible says, as I behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, I'm changed into that very same image. First, the word starts in me through meditation. The word of God starts in me through sanctifying. Then it comes out of the sanctifying work, and then it becomes into a transforming. And I literally become changing. I tell you, some of you are changing every day. Some of you, I see you from Sunday to Sunday, and you're like a brand new. I tell you what, isn't Eric a beautiful example of the change of the Lord? I tell you what, I have watched Eric just Sunday after Sunday. I've watched that transforming power of God just begin to wrap in his life. You can't keep that from happening. That's automatic for a person that continues to look at Jesus in the Word. When you keep looking at Jesus and the work, the transforming power, the very image that you're looking at becomes your image and you begin to transform. But the next one then is revelation. God brings you from the transformation into a revelation. And all of a sudden you begin to see God in power in ways you never thought possible. And then all of a sudden the authority of God begins to be revealed to you and you begin to say, why am I putting up with that? Why am I putting up with that? I shouldn't have to be dealing with that in my life. Devil, I'm tired of you dealing with that, bringing that on me. And all of a sudden, the sense of authority begins to develop. And then the same time that the Holy Spirit has been pulling us into the Word, then the Holy Spirit begins to pull us into an encounter with Himself. Because the Holy Spirit knows that not only do we need authority, we have to have power. I'm going to tell you what, our dunamis is stronger than the devil's dunamis. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Same Greek word, but two completely values of power. God's power can overpower any power of the enemy. So whatever it is that the devil, whatever storm, whatever it is that the enemy has put into your life, God is preparing you with courage. God's preparing you with the Word. He's drawing you into the Word to bring into you a sanctification bring into you a transformation and bring it in a revelation. Because what you're going to find is, this revelation God gives me, and never despise the day of small beginnings. The Lord may have you start with some very small storms, but that's okay. You stand up against those things. You plant your feet, you stand up, and you begin to speak to those storms just as if they were the biggest hurricanes in your life. And that's why God uses the small storms to prepare us for the much bigger storms in our life. Storms, well, we'll have to wait till another time to talk about storms. Because some storms don't stop overnight. Go ahead and start some music if you would, Brother Lee, for me. Some storms are not over in the night. Some storms are lengthy. But God tells us to use the same courage. So that storm that's come against us, whether that storm has... I love that storm that we're talking about in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. Because it said when Jesus rebuked that wind, immediately. Everybody say immediately.
Immediately.
Immediately it ceased. Now, a few days when the disciples... And Jesus was in prayer and the disciples were out on the boat in that storm. You remember? That huge storm came up against them. Jesus said, take courage, I'm here. That's what he said when he walked across that water to them. Be of good cheer. That's why courage and cheer. Be of good cheer. I'm here. And the Bible says that when Jesus entered into their boat, the storm ceased. Now traveling on over to Acts chapter 27, a different length of storm. Because in Acts chapter 27, it tells about Paul's storm. And it tells about after many days, hope that we would be saved was lost. But he said, this night, an angel of the Lord stood with me and said, take courage, Paul. Take courage, Paul. Now that storm had devastating effects. And we've got to understand that. I want to take a service of time and teach on that. This storm, some storms have devastating effects. That one did. They lost their whole ship. They lost every shred of clothing except what they wore. That storm took away all physical things. But God was working toward a higher purpose. Take courage, Paul. For it will be as it was spoken to you. Take courage. That storm lasted, Jim. But do you know what? At the end of the storm, a whole island came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Do you understand? I'm going to tell you what. If you think Paul was grumpy about losing those old rags that he had packed away in that little old bag for a whole island coming to the Lord. And you know what? I've had people teach me that what happened in the process of that, that from that day on, Paul became a wealthy man. That those islanders were so thrilled at the message that Paul brought them. That history records that they loaded Paul down. So every little bitty thing that he thought he lost in that storm, he gained back multitudes for it. Can you say amen? Amen. Still yet, Paul, take courage. So Lord, we thank you as we come to the close of this tonight. Lord, we're talking about having courage in the midst of our storms. Lord, we're talking about speaking to the sources of those storms. We're talking about, Lord, speaking to not only what is caused, but what caused it, Lord. Lord, I ask you in this place tonight by the power of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us, each person here is probably facing a storm in a different matter, in a different measure. You know what I feel in the Lord? I feel if we'll give the Lord a moment here, God's going to reveal to many of you. Mike and I really felt God wanted to reveal to you. You've been fighting something, but you didn't know. God wants to reveal to you. I believe, Mike, God wants to tell you the force of darkness that you will begin to address. And you will see a quick crumbling to Satan's kingdom. I tell you, the Holy Spirit is powerful. We can send up rockets everywhere, or we can have one word of the Holy Spirit. And we can send up one rocket trailing one thing, seeing one explosion that destroys that hope that Satan's tried to have. Can you say amen? How many like the Lord to show you something like that tonight? I want you to just ask the Lord. Now, the Lord's not obligated, but I want you to just ask the Lord, Lord, what am I really fighting? What am I really fighting? There has been moments when I would ask the Lord something like that. The Lord would show me. He would show me a being that I was fighting. Other times I would see things move out of the corner of my eye as God would revealing to me the dark area of battle. Other times He just lets you know that you're just fighting evil. Just continue to fight. Did the Lord reveal to you during that about that 30 seconds that we took there? Did the Lord reveal anybody what you were fighting? Evelyn, He revealed to you? Okay. Anyone else? Kathy, the Lord revealed to you? Great. The Lord revealed to you. Anyone else? Eric, the Lord revealed to you, Eric. Man, isn't that Eric growing? Man, he's just growing so much in the Lord. Anyone else? The Lord revealed to you. The Lord revealed to you what you was fighting. Man, I tell you, 90% of the battle's gone. 90% of the battle's gone. When the Lord reveals to you what the backbone is that you're fighting. What is, because it's just like, you know, it's like we can fight little pockets of ISIS all day long. But until the nucleus of ISIS is knocked out, ISIS will still exist. And so I believe the Lord is wanting to reveal into our lives what we are. Is anyone else? I just want you to acknowledge it for as the Lord's sake. For as the Lord's sake. Barbara, okay. Is anyone else? You feeling the Lord? I see hands. Yeah. Okay. Praise God. Hand. The Lord's revealing to you what you're fighting. The Lord's revealing to you.